Karen Blumenfeld, we just heard from Randall Fine, working with Revel Casino in Atlantic City. Yeah, it started as a smoke-free casino. His team was involved in a reworking, which included bringing back smoking. You were involved with Revel, too, but you were involved in a different way. You provided them with research prior to their opening showing that smoke-free could work. Why do you think it didn't?
Well, smoke-free did work. The issue was that Revel did not advertise or market to the community in the tri-state area that it was smoke-free. So most people thought that Revel was a brand new resort destination, not a casino per se, but a resort destination that had gambling, and they all thought that it still had smoking. So when we interviewed patrons and individuals from the Northeast area, what we found was that none of them knew that Revel was smoke-free. And when they did find out that it was smoke-free, they said that they would go and check it out. So I disagree completely with Mr. Fine's assessment that Revel partly failed due to it being smoke-free. Hmm. Look, we've got 20% of the adult population in the country smokes. 80% do not smoke. The most recent survey in Nevada showed that 75% of adult gamblers do not smoke. So just from common sense and a simple business standpoint, why wouldn't a casino want to cater to the overwhelming majority of the population? I mean, we know from surveys that have been conducted that non-smokers don't go to casinos because they're exposed to secondhand smoke. And this proposition that there are smoke-free areas, let me share with you that the majority, if not almost all of those smoke-free areas, are right next to a smoking area. So a non-smoker like Shane, who has to work there, or patrons who would go to the non-smoking area are continuing either to smell smoke on the way or be exposed to it while they're there.
Now, Karen Blumenfeld, if I could stop you there, I mean, are you saying that at its root, the trouble that Revel had at the very beginning when it was launched was just a matter of fumbling the branding, where people thought, well, it was just a resort. They didn't think casino. They didn't think gambling. And they weren't necessarily marketing the smoke-free element
There was no marketing of the smoke-free element whatsoever.
So they blew the marketing campaign, in effect. Is that
right,
what you're saying?
And what's interesting is that neighboring Delaware, Dover Downs, which has been smoke-free for several years, has been doing quite well. And then we see that Maryland passed a law which also required their gaming to be smoke-free. Ohio did the same thing. Now we have Massachusetts, which is taking on bids from, you know, the heavy hitter of casinos, and they have to be smoke-free if they open up there. So,
okay. Well, Karen Blumenfeld, Randall Fine pretty much said it bluntly. When smoking is eliminated, revenue falls.
That's completely untrue. I really have no idea where he's getting that from. What I can share from you are the filings from the Atlantic City casinos. When Atlantic City casinos went smoke-free for a month back in 2008, and it was in the fall of 2008 when the downturn of all the markets were happening because the real estate market crashed, and the casinos went smoke-free per city law for 1 month. That 1 month, the revenues were higher than the month before and the month afterwards. Mm. And I think that if the smoke-free casinos that are located in Ohio, Maryland, soon to come Massachusetts and Delaware, they're all in saturated gaming markets where people can go to a casino, including Illinois, which is smoke-free and has smoke-free casinos. They can go to casinos where smoking is permitted, and yet these non-smoking casinos continue to flourish. So if the casino industry felt that it was a bad investment to invest in a smoke-free casino, a saturated gaming market, then they wouldn't invest in it. But they continue to invest because they know that people go to casinos to gamble.
So they continue to invest. Now, Karen Blumenfeld, when we talked with Randall Fine, we'd asked him about conversations he had with casino owners and how they weigh the health costs of secondhand smoke against the financial benefits. Tell us about your conversations with casino executives on this same topic.
Well, first of all, I think his comparison of comparing tobacco and secondhand smoke to alcohol use on the floor is ludicrous. A better comparison is asbestos, because asbestos, like secondhand smoke, is a class A carcinogen. So first and foremost, everybody agrees that they do not want to be exposed to asbestos because they don't want to end up with mesothelioma. So like Shane has said, he doesn't want to be exposed to secondhand smoke because he doesn't want to get lung cancer or any other type of illness from that exposure. So I think that that's first and foremost that your listeners should understand how dangerous this substance is. And not only is it the secondhand smoke, but it's the third-hand smoke. Shane is being exposed to not only the people that are breathing out the smoke and the smoke coming off of the cigarettes and cigars, but also these particles of secondhand smoke embed in the carpeting, the furniture, and continue to emit toxins, which recent studies have shown are very, very dangerous. So it makes sense also from the standpoint of these are public places that need to accommodate people with breathing disabilities. And it is a shame that the smoke continues to be in these locations where people are using portable oxygen, and portable oxygen is not to be used in a location where smoking is taking place. So it creates a very, very serious health hazard to not only a non-smoking patron, but these places are places of public accommodation under the Americans with Disabilities Act, and quite frankly, we don't believe that they are accommodating people who are breathing disabled on portable oxygen, since it's not safe to be there
oxygen. Got it, creating a danger there, I understand. Shane Kaufman, you are obviously public about your feelings that casinos should be smoke-free. In fact, you have wondered out loud here and elsewhere why management gets to work in a smoke-free facility and floor workers don't. Have you gotten any pushback from your bosses?
We've asked to have better ventilation system and to have fans put on our table games. These requests are ignored. Other departments like housekeeping, they have to wear protective gloves and goggles. We have no protection from the smoke. And if we complain about the smoke, it can end up in us being terminated, as one of my colleagues has been in the past.
Karen Bloomfield, efforts in court, lawsuits on behalf of casino workers have failed thus far. If there is such a compelling case that the health of workers is being compromised, why aren't juries finding against the companies?
Okay, well, actually, there was a more than a $4 million settlement with Tropicana in Atlantic City with a casino worker who contracted lung cancer. So from the standpoint of are there cases, yes, there are cases. And that particular one was settled. 95% of all cases settle out of court. So for a decision to be made and then published, it's a rarity. But the most recent one is that particular case, and he was awarded more than $4 million by Tropicana.
Yeah, but clearly the legal liability is such that it hasn't been enough to affect changes in the casino industry. I mean, if they're out-of-court settlements.
Right. I think, what has changed, if the casino industry has changed. They are investing in casinos that need to be smoke-free by state law. And policymakers are no longer exempting gaming areas and casinos from their Smoke-Free Air Act.
But on the other hand, Karen Blumenfeld, we're hearing from Shane Kaufman that the casinos aren't changing. You know, he talks about the ventilation systems and such and says the requests are being regularly ignored.
They are, and in fact, that shouldn't be happening. We know that there's no safe level of secondhand smoke, that ventilation doesn't work, and that it needs to be 100% smoke-free in order to protect people. Look, Mr. Fine mentioned that the smoking areas don't have the same revenues. What he didn't share, and what we are aware of, based on research that's been done, is that usually the non-smoking areas have the lower payout machines, so therefore people don't necessarily tend to go there because they're not getting as much as if they went somewhere else. So I think that that kind of a fact needs to be shared, that there is this manipulation to try and demonstrate that having a smoke-free casino is bad for revenues.
But in the meantime, Nevadans have not followed other states to outlaw smoking. Certainly we could if we wanted to, but does that indicate that Nevadans aren't all that concerned about this issue, Karen Blumenfeld?
Oh, I think Nevadans are very concerned about the issue, but you have to also take into account that the casino industry is a very powerful industry, and it, especially in Nevada. If you go back to a little bit in history, there are ties between the tobacco industry and the casino industry, and so it's no surprise that the two have, to a degree, been tied. In that respect, and that's why it's been so difficult for Shane and others to get smoke-free casinos in Nevada.
Now,
change elsewhere.
Yeah, Shane Kaufman, if you're riding up the elevator on your way to work at Caesars, what would you tell somebody who's riding in the elevator with you? Why should Nevada pass laws similar to those of other states about smoking?
Well, I think one of the misconceptions is that in Nevada, it's pretty much a smoke-free state. The only places where people are allowed to smoke are in the casino floor, a few of the bars and taverns, the striptease clubs, and brothels. The amount of workers that are actually exposed to secondhand smoke are relatively few, and they're quite powerless. They tend to be blue-collared workers. We really have no one in our corner apart from people like Karen and Cynthia Hallett and the Americans for Non-Smokers' Rights.
And yet, Nevadans don't seem to have decided to move on this and to say enough is enough. What can you say to convince Nevadans who can do something about this that the time has come?
I think that Nevada has voted for smoke-free. I think that the powers to be, in this case the casino executives, have manipulated the politics to allow a loophole. And a very, very few amount of workers are supporting the whole economy. And no one cares that we're going to die of lung cancer as long as the almighty dollar can keep coming in.
So are the smoking and gaming lobbies ultimately too powerful in this matter?
Not only are they too powerful, but they have no interest in the health of the workers. I think the casinos need if there was a balanced playing field where all the casinos went smoke-free together, I think we wouldn't be talking about this in a couple of years.
In a way, Shane Kaufman, that's a very damning thing to say.
Well, it's maybe the politics of our nation today that sometimes things that we believe in and things that we think should happen don't happen. And everybody knows that smoking damages one's health, and everybody knows that it should be banned from the working place. And yet, in this state, it's not. And we need to call on our representatives to do something about it.
Karen Blumenfeld, who has the best case for making casinos smoke-free? I mean, if casinos do go smoke-free, will it be because a dealer like Shane Kaufman brought a lawsuit? Or will it be something that takes place in Carson City where powerful lawmakers say switches sides or has to give in?
I think, it is a war on tobacco. It's always been a war on tobacco, and there are many battles to be fought. I think that workers like Shane carry a very strong message. I think policymakers that care about the issue can also make change. And I think that I've heard the casino executives say time and time again that we know it's only a matter of time, and that they, when push comes to shove, and that there's a casino that they want to open, like, for example, in Massachusetts or Maryland, that they go for the bid and they know it's going to be smoke-free. So I believe that not only the employees, but advocates, as well as key policymakers and messages from Washington will make this change.
Karen Blumenfeld is the Executive Director of Global Advisors on Smoke-Free Policy. Shane Kaufman is a longtime casino dealer at Caesars. Thank you both very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.